brothers and sisters, children, as we celebrate today the coming of the Holy Spirit, let's read together from Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today we are reflecting on the coming of the Holy Spirit and his work here on earth. Apostle Paul helps us to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in his prayer, as we have read this morning. This prayer is about the identity of a true church. A true church of God, a true church of Christ. In a way, what this prayer does, it opens our eyes to see that indeed the identity of a church is measurable. We are able to tell whether the church belongs to God or not. We are able to tell and differentiate between the true and false church. It is clear from this prayer that Paul offered on behalf of the church in Ephesus that the foundation of every true church is Christ. It is clear from this prayer that God is gathering through the ministry of the Holy Spirit his church from eternity to eternity. And what is clear from this prayer is that the true church is birthed emerges out of our knees, out of prayer. Hence, we have to remain a praying church at all material times. Paul says, I bow down, I kneel, I pray. And it is out of this prayer where the identity of a true church becomes even more clear. And by way of a theme, this text speaks specifically on the full measure of all the fullness of God. And there are five things that we see in this text. The first one, we must be filled with the full measure of God. That is the instruction, that is the imperative, that every believer must be filled with the full measure of God. Being filled with the full measure of God is about knowing Him. Knowing Him as the one who created, as the one who provides, as the one who sustains life. It's about knowing Him as the one who is forever close to us. But it's also about knowing Him as He revealed Himself to us. Not how we want to know Him or want to understand Him, but as He revealed Himself through His word. Being filled with the full measure of God is about believing. It's about believing who God is in our lives, and it's about confessing and also about making sure that our knowledge corresponds with what we do daily. Paul says, I pray for you so that you will be filled with the full, not half, not quarter, but full measure of God. So it's not just some knowledge about God. It's not just some truth about God. It's the whole truth. It's the entire scope of our knowledge and being in relating to the sovereign King. Be filled with the full measure of the fullness of God in your life. Two, the full measure of the fullness of God is about Christ's love for us. If indeed we are to say we are filled with the full measure of God in our lives, then we should be able to know and understand Christ's love for us. Because it's only in Christ, it's only in our knowledge and relationship with Christ that we come to know and experience the fullness of God. And we do not just come to know about it. We do not just come to experience it. We come to also become witnesses, ambassadors of the love that we have experienced in Christ. What is the full measure of this love? The full measure of this love is that God in Christ became a human being. He left his godly nature, came in Jesus Christ, born by the Virgin Mary, in order to save us, to save the fallen humanity. The full measure of Christ is about knowing that I didn't deserve his love. It's about knowing that I was supposed to be facing hell. I was supposed to be facing God's anger, God's wrath. But in Christ, God covered me with grace and declared me righteous and accepted me as one of his children. That's the full measure of knowing God. That he did not just die for somebody out there. He died for me. Personally. He covered me. Personally. And he made me one with his family. Three. The full measure of the fullness of God is about the indwelling of Christ in our lives. When we talk about Christ and the resurrection power of Christ, we're not just talking one who is seated at the right hand of God, but we're talking one who is in us. He is Emmanuel, the one with us. He has pitched a tent among us. He is part of the family of God and remains with us. That is why when he left this earth, he said to his disciples, "Don't worry. I'll never leave you or desert you. I'll always be with you to the very end of the earth." And indeed, Christ lives. He's alive. Not in heaven, but in our hearts. Not somewhere there, but in our lives. Christ lives. And that is why in his prayer, Paul says, I pray so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith richly. Dwelling in our hearts. Not just dwelling. He says, I pray so that you will be rooted and be grounded in Christ's love for you. Understanding it, but also experiencing it in a much closer way. Because he lives, and he lives in our hearts, in our lives. He's among us. Even when we gather as a church, Christ lives, is here. Four, the full measure of the fullness of God is about the unity of the church. It is only those who are not part of the true church of God who thrives on disunity. Only those who are not part of the kingdom of God who divide the church. In the midst of all divisions, in the midst of division across language, race, culture, every other human division or wall that we create, the full measure of God is that these walls must be broken. Because we have to be one. The church of God is one. One indeed. So in a way, the true church of God is a new humanity created in Christ, finding its identity in Christ and defining its existence in Christ and also defining its actions in Christ. So the true church of God is not defined by language, culture, and your belonging in terms of race. Whilst these elements are not entirely, completely ignored or destroyed, as we have seen with the coming of the Holy Spirit, those who were coming from different nationalities were able to worship together. And they were able to understand when the apostles will open their mouth to speak the word of God. Everyone was able to understand the message and understood the message with clarity, irrespective of where they came from. They were able to say, I hear this is the word of God. And I hear this word in my own language. That is what Pentecost is all about. Pentecost is about the unity of the church of God, creating the new humanity so that those who were strangers and foreigners, those who were aliens in the family of God, they are now welcomed. This prayer is following the part where Paul, from verse 1 to 13, is dealing with the mystery of God. And when you go deep to search what is this mystery, the mystery of God is that in Christ, the Jews and the Gentiles, men, women, children, they now belong. So we are no longer having the luxury of defining church in terms of cultural language identity, because now the Jews and the Gentiles are able to worship together. Even the struggle that we deal with in our church denomination around men, women, whether we can allow men, women to lead and even preach, there is clarity even in these texts. Those distinctions, he has died so that the prophecy of Joel will come to fulfillment. Your sons and daughters prophesy. No more Jews, no more Gentiles. No more educated, no more uneducated, the barbarians. No more male, no more female. In Christ, we all define ourselves as God's children, as Christians. And that is our identity. And we are all called to be ambassadors of this truth. In this prayer, Paul says, the fullness of knowing God is when you understand that I belong to the family of God with all the brothers. When he starts, he says, every family derives its name from one God, one Christ, one Spirit, the Spirit of God. And this should be our prayer. This should be our prayer, one to be realized not when we go to heaven, but one to be realized whilst we are still on this side. I'm looking forward to a day where we could worship together, praise together, and lift our voices, our hands, our hearts, our emotions from all cultural groups together. Because this is the church that is coming. Revelation 7. So, the full measure of God is knowing that in Christ a new humanity is created, knitted together and defined only by the blood of Christ that we share. 5. The full measure of the fullness of God is about the power of God. You see, what I'm talking about is difficult, especially when it comes to the unity of the church. Especially when it comes to the freedom that Christ gives also to women. Not only restricting them and reserving them to be servants in the kitchen, bearing children, as we traditionally understood, but ones who can be right at the forefront of ministry, caring ministry, and even sharing the words. This teaching is rather difficult, because ours as human beings is to hate God and hate one another. Ours is to separate. Ours is to elevate others elevate men whilst we downgrade women, even children. This is difficult. We can't on our own easily start to do things differently. We need the power of God. And the power of God was made manifest in the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Remember, after the resurrection, when Jesus left, he told his disciples, please, 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 please remain in Jerusalem until you receive the power. And when you have received the power that you receive will ensure that you do not remain in Jerusalem. You now have to leave. Go out and search for those Gentiles. Go out and search for those dogs. Go out and search for those barbarians. Because Christ also died for them so that they can come and join this family of God. And of course, if you do not have the power of God, the Spirit of God who strengthens you, you'll always be afraid to cross language barrier, cultural barrier, and indeed, that is why, you see, each time that we are called and we have to respond to the call to reach out to those who are outside, we'll always be building walls, giving excuses. I can't. Ekani hot Afrikaans praat nie. Dan ek sal nie by die vet mense gaan, Afrikaans sprekende mense gaan, om hulle te dien. Want ek is nie goed in hulle taal. I've never spoken any African indigenous language. I've never tried. How would I reach out to this Herdi Swart Mense? Maybe let's just call somebody who knows and understands their culture. And therefore, onsal Herdi Persoon Betal Omse Mense Tebedin. That's not what God wants. God wants his church not to be restricted by anything. Not language, not culture, not education, or any other excuse that we might want to give. As and when we move to the uncharted waters, terrain, as and when we move to foreign territories, we rely on the resurrection power, the very power that resurrected Christ from the dead, the very power that made Christ to be alive, is the very same power that will carry us as and when we move. And this is the power that enables us omentale despriek. Foreign languages. And we have seen it. In the history of this church, you have always been at the forefront of sending missionaries. Some you have sent to Venda, And we have seen through the power of the Holy Spirit, having them transformed and starting to speak in Tshivenda, some speaking in Shangaan, and it can still be done. And therefore, no more excuses. What we need to do as a church is to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it is only the Holy Spirit who is able to help the church to do what God wants and to do it fully as ones who are indeed filled by the fullness of God. Amen. Let us pray. Heilige, heilige, heilige God, ons dankie, Here, ons dankie vir hierdie geleentheid. Ons dankie dat U het met ons gepraat het. Ons dankie vir U woord. Ons dankie vir die Heilige Gees wat nog spreek. Dankie Here. Dankie vir hierdie gemeente. Ons bid dat U sal hele bystaan elke gelowige, elke man en vrou, elke kinder. Father, we pray in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you'll continue to give them strength. Strength to take your word and be witnesses in this world. The fallen world, which is corrupt, violent, the world which celebrates division across race, the world which continues to build walls that separate people. Help us, O God, as your church, so that our message will be different, so that we'll preach true unity in Christ. That in Christ there is one church, one body, and indeed one Spirit, one Father, the Father of all, one from whom we derive our being, our existence. Father, we pray as we start with this week, wherever you have called and placed us in this world, we pray that you'll be with each one of us, with each children at school, be it their parents in their workspaces, be it our elderly people. Father God, we pray in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you'll lead us, you'll guide us, strengthen us, comfort us, and be with us in our day-to-day activities. Whatever we do, Lord, let it be for your glory. Because to you alone, glory be to the church and in Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray all this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.